old school.
It's going to be stolen, I think, by the doctor. Yes, he's got it. Ray rocked the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
Stolen by Bird and the cut to DJ. Yes!
Buckle up for Kobe Bryant.
New era.
Oh! A jawbreaker! Curry, way down top. Bang!
It's all basketball.
A spectacular move by Michael Jordan.
Lace them up. It's time for 1010XL's Open Gym. Leading the break, here's R.J. Saunders.
And it is the basketball show for the basketball fan alongside Casey Dobson. I'm R.J. Saunders. It is Open Gym on a Sunday. So glad you're here with us. A lot going on, including March Madness. The madness has already begun. A couple upsets, a couple darlings individually. Casey, how is your bracket?
Have you ever seen one of those Dalmatian dogs?
Right.
Okay, so I screenshotted my bracket earlier in the week, and the black dots that are all over the page now look like a little Dalmatian dog. So, I still do have three in there, though, but, yeah, a lot of upsets.
Let us know how your bracket is looking, 641-1010. On the text line designed by Lifetime Enclosures. That's one of the fun parts about March Madness, seeing if your bracket's going to look like a Dalmatian or if you get a clean sweep. However, that has never happened. We have a full show today, and it's going to be exciting. Dante Marcatelli is going to rejoin us again. He was our first guest when we ingratiated this show, going to talk to us about the Magic. Now 12-4 after a 109-107 loss to the Kings, 12-4 following the All-Star break. And Paul Biancardi, former head coach in college, now the recruiting director for ESPN, will join us at the bottom of the hour to talk NCAA March Madness. So have a question for you guys today, 641-1010 on the text line. Kevin Garnett and Paul Pierce are hilarious with this. If he doesn't already, what should Paolo's nickname be? The Ticket and the Truth gave their thoughts.
Paolo, right. They're like the East Coast Pelicans.
No. Paolo's averaging 23 a game.
Quietly.
Yeah, Pablo, he cracking.
Not Pablo, P.
That's what we call him, though. You understand? Esco was a
Esco,
real
right.
one. You understand?
That's Pablo.
That's his nickname from the guy.
Nickname Pablo Esco.
We ain't calling him what his mom hold name. On, that's his government.
I don't know if you want to have that nickname. Pablo Escobar. Pablo Esco. Casey, do you have any ideas?
Well, I'm going to echo a little bit. So, all right. So I was able to go to one of the Magic games, my first one a couple weeks ago.
Right.
I'm sitting next to my boy, and I got some great pictures, man. I'll send them to you, and you can post them on the page and everything. But I'm sitting there, and I'm like, "Go Pablo, yeah Pablo, there it is." And finally, I get a tap on my shoulder. Hey, it's Paolo.
That is hilarious.
I'm like, "What? Are you sure?"
That is hilarious, Pablo. It's Paolo. A lot of guys aren't getting his name correct. However, Big Ticket and Paul Pierce with a little bit of fun when it comes to the nickname of Paolo Banchero. What nickname do you think he should have? Do you have one for him already? We'll read some off on the text line if you send them in. 641-1010. All right, so to start off kind of our show here, this was interesting. Last week I had a conversation with Sean Powell of NBA.com, and thanks again to him for coming on. It was an amazing interview. I asked him about something J.J. Redick had said to Devin Booker on his podcast, The Old Man and the Three. And I kind of want to get in on this conversation because it seems to me that there may be a few individuals that look to the side of a Sean Powell and look to the side of myself who would probably say, hey, Kevin Durant has been a player that has been highly regarded, highly touted as one of the greatest individual scorers of all time. However, there is a guy in J.J. Redick who thinks differently.
I'm going to make an argument here. Well, I'm not going to make an argument. I'm going to give a take. and I mean this, I really do. I'm not just, I'll go on First Take next week and say this shit. I think whatever happens for the rest of Durant's career, we're going to look back in like 10 or 15 years and be like, why the fuck did we spend all this time with all the discourse and not just appreciate literally one of the greatest basketball players to ever play this game?
Yeah.
I really, it's not going to happen. And by the way, we're going to keep this in the podcast.
Yeah.
And there'll be a million comments on YouTube about why I'm wrong and why he shouldn't have left Oklahoma City or blah, blah. Who fucking cares? He's literally one of the greatest players ever. And we spend too much time on the instead of just appreciating his night to night greatness.
And then this became more interesting because a few weeks before that podcast came out, Kevin Durant is speaking with a reporter and he says that he feels that he belongs in the GOAT debate. Now, no, I am not trying to spark a GOAT conversation. We did that a few weeks ago. However, he feels like his legacy or the opportunity in being in the GOAT debate has hung in the balance. And these are his words, quote, because I went to the Warriors, why shouldn't I be in that? Meaning the GOAT debate. That's the question you should ask. Why not? And what haven't I done? So quickly, because I'm not going to get into the GOAT debate here. Quickly. Let me give you the short and then complex answer. Does Kevin Durant belong in the GOAT debate? To me, no. Does not take away from the fact that he's probably one of the 15 greatest players of all time currently. Let me give you the complex answer. Does he belong in the GOAT? No! He doesn't belong in the GOAT debate. Okay. Now, as far as his legacy goes and as far as the enjoyment of the game and his game, could you credit Kevin Durant for being one of the new wave of players, the first of his kind, to be that unicorn type player? Not the 6'9 guard. We saw that with Magic Johnson, but a guy at his size, 6'11, 7 feet, who was not the point forward type, but you could get him the ball anywhere on the floor and he could score and dominate in whatever position you put him in. Now, at a time when he got into the league early, he had trouble going left, but as time progressed and the more and more he developed, he's one of the most unstoppable scorers that we've ever seen. And especially at his size, that's never been done before. Now, we've seen guys at his size be that point forward type. LeBron James, Tim Thomas, Lamar Odom, Scottie Pippen. You understand what I'm saying. But Kevin Durant, I think we can all agree, he's had a legacy and a legendary NBA career that can't be argued. As a career average of 27-7-4, over his entire career, including this year, he's dang near a 50-40-90 guy. He's been an MVP, a three-time gold medalist, four-time scoring champion, two-time NBA champion, twice being the NBA Finals MVP. There's no doubt that he's going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer. And I think this is where Sean Powell was trying to go with it last week, if you didn't listen to the interview, where he's saying, I'm kind of confused by who's not enjoying his game, because there's a lot of individuals, whether that be in the media or his peers, that have given him his flowers since he's been in the league. Even with him going to Golden State, something that was never seen before, well, never seen before in that capacity, where arguably the second best player in the NBA goes to a team that won 73 games the year before and beat you after losing a 3-1 series lead. Just never seen something like that happen. You thought this was over when LeBron James went to Miami. Some would argue it got worse with Kevin Durant doing what he did. But let's talk about that Golden State argument, because that's what he brings up. He says that that's where people slight me. Well, Isaiah Thomas makes this argument on the Draymond Green show that if it weren't for Kevin Durant, Would Golden State be Golden State?
Let me make a bold statement here.
Yes, sir.
And I hope this don't upset you. Before Kevin Durant arrived in Golden State, y'all were on the verge of and being remembered as the team that went 73-9 and lost to a Cleveland Cavalier team in the finals. You up 3-1. And probably one of the biggest collapse in NBA finals history. Kevin Durant comes that summer and really saves y'all basketball legacy. You win two championships after that. The Golden State Warriors dynasty that you're going to go into the Hall of Fame on and everything else, it is cemented. Because if Durant don't come that summer and you guys are remembered as the 73-9 team, all of your legacies are different.
Now, I've made that argument for years. It seemed to me he kept the dynasty going. He kept the Warriors' reign at the top. I'm not saying that LeBron would have won more rings. I'm not saying that Golden State wouldn't have won more rings. But the dominance at the top was cemented when Kevin Durant got there. Now, I believe Kevin Durant's problem is that he felt beating LeBron James not once, but twice in the NBA Finals on the game's biggest stage, that he would be the better player than LeBron James. He would be looked at as the number one player. When that didn't happen, I think for him, it shot him in the chest a little bit. And we've all known Kevin Durant to be that guy. He does take things personal, does get a little bit emotional, does make burner accounts to defend himself or argue with us peasants of basketball lore. But maybe where JJ is coming from is the fact that us as fans, we decide that since he went to Golden State, won two championships on an already made team, we no longer look at him as one of the 15 to 20 greatest players or one of the greatest scorers of all time. Here's an interesting stat. LeBron James has had 20 straight seasons of scoring 25 or more points. The second player behind LeBron James, Kevin Durant, with 15 straight years of averaging 25 or more. And once, like I said, once upon a time, it used to be who's the best player in the league, LeBron James or Kevin Durant. Then to use LeBron James's vernacular and use his terminology, cleaning it up a lot, until that light-skinned guy came into the league in Golden State. However, I believe he's been thoroughly enjoyed. Whether your criteria is that of he can't be in the GOAT conversation or he's just not one of the greatest players because of what he did, or if you're a guy that just says, I love watching basketball, I love the game, and watching Kevin Durant, he did it better than anybody else. I mean, look at this guy. I mean, awards after awards after awards. He couldn't be named a starter in the NBA All-Star game without us. As NBA fans, we vote who the starters are. I voted for him. You listening probably voted for him in his heyday when he was in Oklahoma City and also when he was with Golden State for a few years. And now you're supposed to be making this Dream Team 4 or Redeem Team 2. For the Olympics, and whose name is being thrown into that? Not just LeBron James, not just Steph Curry, but Kevin Durant. That's supposed to be the three-headed monster to prove once again that the USA is the most dominant country when it comes to basketball. MVP award? Mom, you're the real MVP? That may be Durant's problem. It's no question that he's a next-level talent. He was one of the first of his kind. And you look at a lot of guys now in the NBA, and they try to draw and pull from what Kevin Durant was. But he and LeBron probably have the same issue. They hate being hated. LeBron couldn't handle that in Miami. Kevin Durant, he was disappointed. I beat LeBron twice. I thought that would have put me over. And it just seems to have put a chink in my armor and overall in my career, because I did it with an already made team instead of going somewhere like the Knicks or Boston was in that mix at that time, or going back home to Washington and playing with Beal and John Wall. Durant's legacy is set in stone to me. And he's going to be in the Hall of Fame. You hear Isaiah Thomas, you hear J.J. Redick. He may not be Roman Reigns, but his peers acknowledge him. I'm sure that there are a lot more individuals that acknowledge him. Have we as fans not acknowledged him enough? And at best, it's 50-50 to me. It could be more. But he's one of the best basketball minds I've ever seen play. He's been phenomenal to watch. I don't think he closes any gap on LeBron or Jordan trying to be in that GOAT debate. But that's not bad to have a career as long as he's had and to come off an Achilles injury and come back and doing what he's doing this year, averaging 27 points. I think it's safe to say that he's gotten his flowers. He'll continue to get his flowers. You will have the naysayers, but that's a part of being great. You have to take the bitter with the sweet. What have been your thoughts on Kevin Durant and his career? 641-1010 on the text line. But when we come back, Dante Marcatelli is going to join us. The Sacramento Kings come into Orlando and steal one by two. What's next for the Orlando Magic? Dante Marcatelli is going to talk that and more with us next on Open Gym on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Let's ring up another guest on the All-Pro Roofing phone line.
First pass to Duarte, dumps it down to Sabonis. J.I. blocked him right at the rack. And now we got a turnover and a steal. J.I. on the run out, he'll dunk it down. Oh, it's Jonathan Isaac's house. On a Saturday night here at Kia Center.
Bo in the middle of the floor, thought about the jumper, thought better, gave to Isaac in the corner for three. Money!
Jonathan Isaac is unconscious.
Now Franz got to back up. He'll try a straightaway three, and he got it to go. Oh, Franz Wagner, a bailout triple. Crossover dribble, spins into the lane, double comes. He gives it to Cole Anthony into the lane. Anthony, a pump fake layup. It's up and in! Cole Anthony, built for the moment! Here we go. Gets it into Paolo. A heave three at the horn. Is no good, and Sacramento wins. 109-107, the final score. Orlando got to feel like they got robbed.
You have to stick to the process. This is one of those games that they the shots were not falling. They hit some big ones, and we missed a lot of big shots. And similar to that, the last scenario where, you know, we get three good looks at it, the ball doesn't go in. And so our ability to take the process, you know, over the results in this moment is something that we'll have to continue to learn from.
Take your shot. It's Open Gym on 1010XL.
The Magic now 12-4 following the All-Star break, following a 109-107 loss to the Kings. However, Jonathan Isaac had himself a game, tied a career high, 25 points at 7 rebounds, 2 block shots, also 3 made threes in that contest. To speak on that and more, we bring in Dante Marcatelli. He is the host and sideline reporter for Bally Sports Florida, also the host Magic Drive Time on 96.9 The Game. Mr. Marcatelli, thanks so much for coming on again.
Hey, good to be with you, RJ, man. This was a tough one last night.
Absolutely.
Man, they fought so hard, and it's funny. 4 of the last 6 meetings between the Magic and Kings have gone to overtime. The Magic have lost all 6 games. The last 6 meetings, they've lost 12 of 15. There's something about that Sacramento team just has Orlando's number, and unfortunately, they had it again last night. That was a heartbreaker.
Absolutely. However, we've spoken about this Orlando Magic team ad nauseum, Dante, and you've told me this is a group who loves their coach and they don't want to let him down. And then we had Kendra Douglas on just a couple of weeks ago and said these guys view themselves as a brotherhood. What is it about this team that makes their bond so special?
Well, I think you credit the front office because they pride themselves on drafting quality human beings, right? They pride themselves on drafting good people that work hard, that love to play basketball, that are going to put in the work and that genuinely, you know, can work together. And I think that's a feather in their cap. So they found so they've accumulated a bunch of players that are good guys, that work hard, that love being in the gym, that are young, that are all the same age, that are all about the same things. And a lot of them know each other from coming up on AAU and coming up through high school and college ranks and that sort of thing. And then I think there's a, you know, it's been rough. It's been rough the last few years. It's been rough for Cole Anthony now in year five. And it's been, you know, the first 4 years have been hard, you know, and there's been a lot of losing, unfortunately, here. And now there's light at the end of the tunnel. And now it's like, okay, we all have a way to get out of this. We all have a way to have a successful season. And with that comes, I don't care who gets the credit or the glory or whatever. We just want to win. And I think that's the most fun thing right now, is to see them genuinely cheer for each other. So there's a great bond. There's a great chemistry. They all hang out. They all spend time together. They all go to restaurants together. Yeah. They all hang out at the hotel together. So it's been a lot of fun to see. It really is.
And something that I failed individually to realize about this team, although they're youthful with guys like Suggs and Franz and Paolo, who are always going to be at the forefront, you do have vets on this team such as Joe Ingles, Gary Harris, Markelle Fultz, Mo Wagner. And I mean, looking at this team, it feels like they have a great influx of veteran talent to support that youth that's on the team. Like, how important have the vets been in the development process of these young studs this Orlando Magic team has?
Oh, it's a great point, and that's a big part of it. And, you know, people forget about Jonathan Isaac. You know, he's drafted in 2017. You know, so this is year seven in the NBA for him. So he's a veteran on this team. We don't think about that because he's been hurt so much.
Right.
Joe Ingles, since the second he got here, has established himself as one of the leaders, if not the vocal leader on this team. And it's interesting because he has a way of getting on the young guys, but doing it in a way that they understand that, you know, he's having fun with us, but he's also kind of telling us some truth as well.
Right.
You know, something as simple as wearing their proper attire to an event. You know, he'll get on them if they, you know, if they're not thinking about that stuff. You know, some of these, you know, Anthony Black, these guys are 18, 19 years old coming into the NBA. And so there's a lot they haven't learned yet. And he's been a great voice of reason. And then you look at on the floor during a big timeout, big possession, and he's telling everybody exactly what to expect when they're out there on the floor. I mean, he's done it all. He's seen it all. 10th year in the NBA, and he's accomplished overseas player. So he's a veteran. And then you got Markelle Fultz. You're exactly right. And then Gary Harris. You know, Gary Harris isn't vocal, but he kind of leads by example.
Right.
He'll go out there and he'll make the right defensive play. He's always in the right spot defensively. So he leads by example. If you're going to leave him open, he'll hit open threes, feet set open threes. He's one of the best on this team at that. So, you know, Wendell Carter Jr., you know, he's been in the league.
Yeah,
this is year six for him, too. So there's a lot of guys that are young, 24, 25 years old, but you're working on year six, seven in the NBA.
Right.
And so there's a lot of wisdom that comes with that. And I think all these guys desperately want to get to the playoffs. They want to get to the postseason. Most people on this roster have not experienced a playoff game.
Yes.
So a game like last night, a game like Thursday night against New Orleans, that's the closest they've come to the playoffs. And so they're getting to feel it now, get a taste of it, and then it's really going to ramp up once you do get to the postseason.
Dante Marcatelli, our guest. He's the host and sideline reporter for Bally Sports Florida. When I say the Orlando Magic are headed to the NBA playoffs, they've at least clinched a play-in berth, but I don't think that they're going to slide down to have to get to the playoffs via the play-in game. But as a longtime member of that team and a longtime fan of that team, as you are, what does that mean to you to hear that the Orlando Magic are headed back to the NBA playoffs?
Oh, it's huge. It's huge. And you're sitting on 42 wins, and you had 42 wins in 2019. Then the last time you had more than 42 wins, you got to go back to 2011. So you're looking at, you're on the verge of having the most successful season you've had in 13 years.
Right.
I mean, it's been a long time. You've only been to the playoffs twice in the last 13 years. This would be the third time. So I mean, it's been a series of rebuilds. It's been a lot of hits. You've had a lot of players that have come through here and been successful, but there's been a lot of misses in the draft over the last few years. And it's not just the Magic; it's a lot of NBA teams. And unfortunately, that'll set you back. You draft the wrong guy, it can set you back. And if you don't have a second round find like a lot of teams do, then that can hurt you as well. So I think just seeing this fan base, honestly, RJ, seeing these fans come night in and night out, a 20-win season, a 24-win season, a 22-win season.
Right.
You know, then you have a little more success last year. You get the 34 wins
right.
last year, which was a huge jump, the biggest jump in the Eastern Conference. And these fans have been loyal and faithful and there, you know, ever since the beginning and unwavering in their support and loyalty to this team. And now to see the crowds, you've got three of your four largest crowds have been this year.
Yes.
In franchise history.
Yes.
Have been this season north of 18,000 fans. So it's been awesome to see. So I feel most excited for them because they've been there through the highs and the lows, and they deserve to see this team have some success. And then obviously, you know, the coaching staff, the front office, the players, the guys that put in all the work to get to this point, it's just so, you're so happy for them, but there's some more work to do because they're, you know, when the season started, you wanted to get the play in. Now you're desperate to get at least six. You want to make sure you don't have to avoid, you want to try to avoid the play in at all costs at this point. And there's still 2.5 games up on Indiana. They're 3.5 games up on Miami. Miami is currently seventh. So you have to stay ahead of Miami or Philadelphia to avoid that play-in. So that becomes the goal. Now, 3.5 up with 11 games to go, you start doing the math. You know, you got to go, you have to go 8-3, 7-4, something like that, and you can clinch a playoff spot.
Absolutely. And I wanted to get this from you. Is there any insight that you could give us from that team in terms of whether or not they're hearing the chatter from the national media? I mean, Paolo goes on an interview with Taylor Rooks, and he says, you know, if the national media watched us, they'd love us quickly. And then Shaq says he doesn't believe, at least right now, Paolo makes the jump from really good player to superstar. Stephen A. Smith, you know, talking a little bit of trash, saying he's going to be snoring on the Orlando Magic in the playoffs. However, there is another angle of this where guys like Kevin Garnett are saying, listen, Orlando's a team you can't sleep on. Austin Rivers saying, hey, Orlando's not getting enough credit for what they've done this season. Are the guys hearing the national chatter, or are they saying, listen, it's just business as usual. We're going to go out there and play, and eventually they're going to have to see what we do.
They hear and read every single thing that is out there. That I assure you. Wow. Everything that's positive and everything that's negative, they either come across on their own, or someone puts it in the group chat, or somebody puts it on the board before the game. You know, you're talking now game 71 of the season, right? So you're going to play Golden State on Wednesday. It'll be game 72. Any way that you can draw any kind of inspiration or motivation is what this team is about, and quite frankly, what all teams are about. So, you know, anybody on a national level that's saying anything, positive or negative, kind of nowadays makes it to all of these teams. But these guys have been absorbing it. And, you know, you look at the Eddie House stuff. Eddie House called this team trash last year.
Right.
You know, said, okay, even if you lose to the Magic, doesn't matter, that team's trash. Well, they took that as personal motivation, and they went out and beat them the next three times in a row. So every comment that's made out there is making its way to them. What I think it comes down to on a personal level, and I don't think it's fair, I think we're so caught up in offense, and we're so caught up in the way teams shoot threes. This is the worst three-point shooting team in the league, or one of them. They make 10 threes a game, and that's the fewest in the NBA.
Right.
They shoot an okay percentage. They're about 20 to 22 in the NBA. So there's not a ton of offense. There's not a ton of threes. But in my opinion, it is the best defensive team. They have all the length in the world, and they make you work. They are as fun a team to watch as there is because of how hard they play and how hard they work. And in this day and age, to get, when it's all about offense and it's all about getting the next contract and how scoring as many points as I can, this team is bought in and they are a team. I don't know that there's another group out there other than Boston and maybe a handful of others that are as much of a team as this team is. And to me, that should be getting all the credit in the
Absolutely.
World. And it doesn't from a guy like Stephen A. Smith, and it doesn't from those guys because they're about the offense. They're going to talk about Luka. They're going to talk about the Lakers.
Right.
But look at the guys that do acknowledge it that you mentioned. Kevin Garnett, Austin Rivers. These guys that played the game, that played incredible defense,
yeah.
understand how important that end of the floor is, and understand that when you get to the playoffs, defense is what helps you win. So I tend to stand with those guys who understand that. But listen, I think they like that. I think they like coming in under the radar. And they want to get to the playoffs and let their play do the talking.
Final moments with Dante Marcatelli. He's the host and sideline reporter for Bally Sports Florida. Dante, I am incredibly jealous of what you were able to do with Coach Brian Hill last night. You had Tracy McGrady in the building. How was that? And do you have a favorite Tracy McGrady moment?
Oh, there are way too many Tracy McGrady moments. I mean, I enjoyed thoroughly covering him. I mean, you look at who he played with, never played with another all-star for a full season. You know, Grant Hill had so many injury issues that
right.
he wasn't able to be on the floor full time. The team was almost unstoppable when him and Grant Hill were together. But, you know, he's playing with Darrell Armstrong and Pat Garrity and Pat Burke, and those teams were so much fun. And right. he got three of those four teams to the playoffs, two-time scoring champion and all that. But there was something about Tracy, and you saw it every time when LeBron James came to town or Kobe Bryant came to town. You were playing Kobe Bryant on Christmas Day. Now, the greats, all the best in the NBA, he just went to another gear.
Right.
And that was just so special to watch. You know, it's funny when he booted the ball into the stands.
Right.
The night that he scored 62 was absolutely incredible. And, you know, his comments after Darrell Armstrong plugged in the TV after Tim Hardaway threw it, you know, that was all.
Yeah.
Those
yeah.
were all great nights. But, you know, I think what stood out to you, even with all of the incredible highlights and accolades that he had, he, you know, there were some times that it was, you know, you'd lose three or four in a row or you'd have some tough stretch. That man answered the bell every single time.
Absolutely.
He never avoided the media. He talked to the media before the game, after the game. He was the guy you had to hear from, and he did it all with a smile. So he's a quality human being, and we got to watch a Hall of Famer have the four best years of his career right here in City Beautiful. So that was something that that certainly was special. And he's a great guy, and he's doing big things still. And we can call him, you know, we can call him our own Central Floridian, and got to play for the Magic for 4 years. So that was one of the most fun times for me in Magic history, watching that guy night in and night out.
Without question. That's Dante Marcatelli. He is the host and sideline reporter for Bally Sports Florida, also the host of Magic Drive Time on 96.9 The Game. Dante, thanks so much. We'll hopefully get you again by the time playoff basketball comes around.
Let's do it. Look forward to it, RJ. Take care. We'll talk to you guys. Thanks for all that you do up at 1010, and let's keep this exciting. Hopefully, Magic fans up in Jacksonville are getting excited for this playoff.
Oh, absolutely.
And on into the postseason. So it's a lot of fun right now. Great time to be on board.
Absolutely. Hey, there he goes, Dante Marcatelli. Thanks so much again for his insight. When we come back, madness. We could snap at any moment. Paul Biancardi, former college head coach and now recruiting director for ESPN College Basketball, joins us next. This is the Open Gym on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Let's ring up another guest on the All-Pro Roofing phone line. Your courtside on Open Gym on 1010XL.
This next person who's going to be dropping gems within the gym is very special to me. Starting in this business, I was asked to get a guest, and it was around college basketball time. Didn't know how to book a guest to save my life. Messaged this individual. He readily said yes, and he's always kind enough to help a little guy like me out. And that's Paul Biancardi. He is a former college basketball coach. He's also the recruiting director for ESPN College Basketball, and he is so kind enough to give us a couple moments. Paul, thank you so much for coming on.
Well, thank you for having me. It's a great time of the year, and thank you for the introduction.
Absolutely, and I wanted to ask you about this tournament so far. Has there been a game that's made you say just, wow, that was a great game?
Oh, gosh, so many of them. I went to the games last night in Charlotte, Michigan State, in North Carolina. I thought the Tennessee-Texas game made me say, oh, wow.
Really?
Because the shooting percentages were awful last night because the defense was elite.
Right.
When you watch Tennessee and Texas play, not only do you see some of the very best players in college basketball, the very best players, you see a defense on both ends that was just elite. They were stifling. They were rebounding missed shots like they were fumbles in football.
Oh, wow, man. And what I wanted to also ask you about, because one of the big upsets that happened early on in this tournament was Kentucky falling to Oakland. However, Jay Wright, during the postgame show, made a comment that had a lot of people thinking when it comes to Coach Cal, that maybe the era of making a team full of one-and-dones may be over. After the loss to Oakland, do you believe that's the case?
Well, first of all, Jay Wright's a very good friend of mine, and he is brilliant as a coach and an analyst.
Right.
His career can go in either direction.
Absolutely.
I think his point was being made that you can't win it all, or it's hard to win it all with just freshmen. And I agree with that. I never thought that you could win it all with just, you know, majority of your team being freshmen, even though right. they're elite. I think John Calipari understands that, because when you look at the team this year, it had, you know, Antonio Reeves, right? It had Trey Mitchell.
Right.
It had some guys that had some substance to them playing somewhere else. But a majority of the team was freshmen. When you look at Cal's national championship team, it had a blend of elite high school players and established college players. And I think that's what you need. Same thing with Duke. The last time they won a national championship, I believe it was Jahlil Okafor and Trey Jones and that team. But they also had, other players that were secure upperclassmen. So you need a perfect blend of both, but you're not going to stop recruiting the elite player.
I mean,
if you think about this for a minute. I know Oakland beat Kentucky. So if Greg Campy had the chance to get those players out of high school, Reed Sheppard, DeJuan Wagner, Rob Dillingham,
right.
he would have took those guys in a heartbeat.
Absolutely.
And you know, if that meant not taking other guys, he would have did it. There's a different formula in the mid-majors. They know they're getting guys that are not leaving for the NBA. They know they're getting guys that they project that will play in their program to start, contribute, and then begin to impact as time goes on. Now, a lot of programs, guys leave. But Campy has the ability to take players from other programs, keep the players that he has, and then produce a team. The great coaches know how to do that because they know how to build a team. It's a little more difficult in today's day and age. But John Calipari is not going to stop recruiting the elite high school player.
Absolutely not. And do you feel that it's a reach for some of these analysts to be questioning whether or not Kentucky should be considering moving on from Coach Cal? I mean, I'm not there. Absolutely not. I think he's still one of the best coaches in all of college basketball. But in your opinion, is that a reach for now people to start questioning the future of his job with the Kentucky Wildcats?
Well, let me say this. 13 days ago, they wanted Kevin Keats fired at NC State.
Right.
Now everybody wants to sign him to a long-term deal. And when I say everyone, I'm talking about the fan base
yes.
and some of the media. I'm yes. not talking about the athletic director, Boo Corrigan,
yes.
Who in my mind said, I have the right coach here. I'm going to give him time to continue to build it. I see progress. I went to NC State's practice back in October. I thought they had a really nice team. Nice meaning balance. They had depth. They had new pieces that fit together well. And it was October. But I walked away saying, I really like that squad, because it had returning pieces in Casey Morsell and DJ Burns. Then it picked up pieces like Ben Middlebrooks, and it picked up DJ Horn and Mo Diarra and guys that could blend in, Michael O'Connell. So when I hear talk about coaches getting let go, I've been in the business for 22 years as a college basketball coach and the last 15 on ESPN side of things
right.
when it comes to recruiting and being a college analyst and a high school analyst. Okay,
right.
It is ridiculous to think that John Calipari would get fired from Kentucky because he exited in the first round this year and last year. Is that the standard Kentucky basketball wants? No. But most fan bases are so unrealistic. Even though Kentucky has every advantage there is in college basketball, there's three seasons. There's the regular season, there's the conference tournament, and the postseason.
Right.
There's 362 teams, 351 are eligible. Everybody's trying to make it to the same spot.
Absolutely.
And there are nights that you play poorly, and they played poorly defensively. It wasn't their offense that hurt them. They were not good defensively. That's what beat them in a one-game showdown. Oakland had experience. Oakland had great shooters. Oakland had confidence and belief. Kentucky didn't play well. It's a perfect storm.
Absolutely. Paul Biancardi, our guest. He's the recruiting director for ESPN. He's also their college basketball and NBA draft analyst. So UConn put the smack down on Stetson in their first round yep. matchup, and without question, they showed why they're one of the top squads in the nation. In your opinion, and I know it's the NCAA tournament, anything can happen, but is this their tournament to lose, or is there another team – currently in the tournament that's making you say, don't crown the Huskies just yet?
Oh, no. I love UConn. And knowing Danny Hurley the way I do, when he was a player in the Big East, I was a coach in the Big East. I've watched him evolve as a tremendous coach, especially on the defensive side of it. And Danny was a very good offensive player,
right,
who didn't play much defense in college. And to see these guys really kind of hone in on their craft is really fun to watch. They're one of the favorites, you know,
right,
in, not just in my mind, but I think in people that really know basketball. A lot of right, people watch basketball. Very few know basketball, and right, even fewer have coached it. So I don't think it's theirs to lose, though. Me personally, I really think Arizona has all the pieces to win it all. They have the guard play. They have the size. They have the in-between forwards. They play with a grit. They play with an intensity level. And you got to keep that up, you know, for six right, straight games. And when you watch, like, Texas and Tennessee last night, you saw high-level elite college players could not make a shot because right, the defense was so good. So you do have to find a way to win when your shooting isn't going well. And that's the sign of a great team. Can they score without making shots? Can they score from their defense? Can they score from the free throw line? Can they score from driving? Because you're going, it's hand-to-hand combat
right,
at this level. At this level, read all the stats. All these teams are top 20 in the country, defensive efficiency or offensive efficiency, sometimes both. But you can't count on your jump shot to win it all.
Right.
I think Connecticut can win it all. I think there's probably – 8 teams right now that you can look at and say, hey, they're built to win it all. UConn's one of them. I like Arizona.
Absolutely. And I wanted to ask you about this team because here locally we do have a lot of Florida Gator fans, and Todd Golden was a guy who it seemed that there were questions last year, and then there were questions when he started 1-3 in conference play. However, has an amazing run with this young Gator team, and they go down to the wire against Colorado in the NCAA tournament. What have you thought about Todd Golden's job with this young Florida Gators team who was one day one of the most dominant programs in the NCAA? They've gone now through a little bit of a rebuilding phase, but Todd Golden seems to be steering that ship in the right direction again.
Oh, no question. He's brought a lot of progress, a lot of results. He has a particular style that he likes to play. We know they're a high-powered offensive team. We know he's driven by analytics. Just like everyone else, they have to go out in the portal and find the right players that fit for them. You know, the portal has a lot of talent in there, but there's a lot of bad talent. A
right,
lot of guys are in there because they have maybe issues, problems, or they couldn't cut it to where they were. So you just don't go in the portal, you know, point a finger and say, I want that guy.
Right.
They have to do their due diligence just like they do in recruiting. But I think what Todd Golden has done has been really special at Florida.
Final moments with Paul Biancardi. He's the recruiting director for ESPN, as well as their college basketball and NBA draft analyst. So I wanted to ask you this in terms of NIL. Charles Barkley, a few years ago, said that maybe kids should play 2 years in college, then declare for the draft so that they're better and they're stronger. And NBA teams aren't drafting strictly based off of potential because you only saw a prospect for a year. Being the college basketball and NBA draft analyst that you are, do you feel that the integration of the NIL could maybe convince some guys to stay 2 or 3 years to develop and get stronger before declaring for the NBA draft?
No question about it. NIL has been a good thing for college basketball. There's some parts of it that has to be worked out. A lot. In fact, there's a few parts of it that have to be worked out.
Right.
But by and large, I think it's a great thing. First of all, when you look at the arenas, a pack with fans, the concession right, stands, people are selling merchandise, games right, are on TV. There's great revenue there, and the players should participate in some of that revenue sharing. What they're getting now is money. Truthfully, at the moment, it's more of a pay-for-play because no one has really figured
right,
out the guidelines on how this should work.
Right.
And I'm a little uneasy with the recruits coming in with their NIL before they've even stepped on campus.
Right.
To me, it was the spirit of the NIL was to let kids prosper based on their game, and their game is their brand, and their brand becomes their name, image, and likeness, and not for used as recruiting inducements. But yeah, the more you stay in college basketball, the more you can develop your game. But there's a lot of people out there that are so-called experts and advisors are telling kids to transfer so they could get more money somewhere else. Maybe not be in a better situation basketball-wise or with people that they like.
Right.
It's more about, as the advisors would say, go get your bag.
Right.
And that bag is hurting the player's happiness at a particular school. A lot of kids don't want to go in the portal. They just think it's what they should do based on someone else telling them to do it. But staying in college basketball and being able to earn money off your name, image, and likeness, being able to graduate, that's another thing about the portal. You transfer, you lose credit.
Right.
Look at Armando Bacot. Armando Bacot, he stayed at North Carolina because I'm sure he loves it there, but he has financial incentives to stay there.
Absolutely.
Because he wasn't going to get that same financial situation by leaving. Because he's a borderline NBA prospect.
Yes.
Probably not one, to be honest with you. And so it benefited Armando Bacot in the right way. And he's done great things, obviously, at Carolina. Got them to a Final Four, and it looks like they have a chance to get back.
That is Paul Biancardi. He is the recruiting director for ESPN College Basketball, as well as their NBA draft analyst. Mr. Biancardi, thank you so much for spending a couple moments with us, and hopefully we can do this again soon.
All right. Thank you, Casey.
There he goes, Paul Biancardi with Casey and RJ.
Shout out. RJ, shout out Casey. For Casey. All right. Woohoo.
That's what we need. This is the Open Gym on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Open Gym on 1010XL.
Basketball is definitely dominating the sports world right now with NCAA March Madness. 42-34 Marquette in front of Colorado, 141 left in the first half of the second round in the South region between number 2 Marquette and number 10 Colorado. We do have a ticket giveaway before we get out of here. Our next broadcast here on 1010XL and 92.5 FM of Orlando Magic basketball will be that against the Golden State Warriors on March 22nd, and you have an opportunity to win a couple tickets to go to that game. The tickets will be sent to you on Tuesday. Do not come in the studio banging on your chest asking where the tickets are. They're sent digitally. It's just a PSA that's out there. But you can come in here on Monday. Get a swag bag, courtesy of Dante Marcatelli and the Orlando Magic, as well as 1010XL. And you can go to the game or listen on 1010XL and 92.5 FM. So call in at 1 o'clock. At 1 o'clock, caller number 1, you'll get 2 tickets to the Orlando Magic's home contest against the Warriors. Thank you to Paul Biancardi for coming on with us, especially when it comes to the NIL, because an interesting story came out just a couple of days ago. The NBA, they're shutting down their G League Ignite team. And remember, this was supposed to be the conduit between guys who did not want to go to college but couldn't go to the NBA draft or declare for it by rule, because you at least had to spend 1 year out of high school. And the NBA G League Ignite team was supposed to be the go-between. Now that's gone. And I think a lot of that is because of NIL. Hopefully these guys want to stay in college basketball just a little bit longer due to the fact that NIL is there now. And if not, you still have other options, such as overseas basketball. But NIL, I think, could definitely help in the development process. So long to the NBA G League Ignite team. That's going to do it for us. For Casey Dobson, I'm RJ Saunders. We'll talk to you again here on the Open Gym on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Come and get y'all some tickets. You got 1 minute and 20 seconds to give me a call.